How's everybody?
Good.
All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I want to read a scripture. I'm going to start off. You don't have to follow me in the word, but if you want to, you can. I'm in St. John, first chapter, starting at the first verse. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was." In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And with that being said, without Him, there was nothing made that wasn't made by Him. Now, I'm going to skip over to Jeremiah 1 through 5. It says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee." The word sanctified means to be set apart. There's not a man or woman in this room that God didn't preordain for you to be something that He called you to be. God did not make anything without a purpose. There was nothing made that doesn't have a purpose. And what I'm here to talk about tonight is the confusion that we have trying to find our purpose. The confusion that we have trying to find our purpose. I can remember a time I was locked up and I was in the Chain of Lakes. I looked out the window and I would watch this turtle, big turtle, would come up the hill. And this turtle would dig a hole and he'd put eggs in his hole. And I watched him and said, "Wow, this is amazing. I'd never seen this." He'd put water down, and then he would dig a hole and he'd spit these eggs out. He would take his back legs and he would close it back. He closed that hole. But that's not the amazing part. The amazing part was sometime later, because I stood right by my bed. I looked out that window every day. I was there for a while. One day, there were little turtles coming out of that hole. There was no big turtle there to lead that turtle. There was no direction, but those turtles didn't stay there. They began to roam. They began to roam looking for a purpose. Each and every one of us in this room is going to give ourselves to something. We're going to give ourselves to something. And a lot of us is giving ourselves to things that we were never meant to give ourselves to. We have given ourselves to things. When I was a small child, you begin to believe or you begin to act out on the things in which they are told that you are taught to you, even in your playing. And some of the older guys will relate to this, but when we were young at Christmas, we get a little cap pistol. You know, you get a cap pistol, so now you're outside playing cowboy. And in my mind, I'm a real cowboy. We're playing cowboys, hiding behind the thing, and I'm acting out on this toy that was given me. This is just a toy. But yet my life, at that point, at a young age, I'm acting out on this toy that was given to me. And then my little sister had these little Betty Crocker ovens, Easy Bake ovens they call them. If you remember, for the older people, I'm telling my age now. But then they were homemakers all of a sudden, you know, and they began to act out on these things that we've been giving them. And as I began to go through life, I didn't know about God. And I was forced to go to church at an early age, so I hated it. I was a rebel at an early age. So I refused to learn anything in church. I refused to listen. I had no heart for that because I didn't want to be here. It's hot and I got on this sticky suit that I wear every week and I didn't want to be here. So I didn't learn anything. So I began to give myself to things on the street. I began to give myself to, I run across a group of guys. They stuck together. I got in a fight one day at school, sixth grade. I got in a fight. I just changed schools. I get in a fight with this guy. And I get on top of the guy, but when I get on top of him, somebody jumps on my back. I don't even know these kids. I just moved over this neighborhood. Someone jumped on my back. And when someone jumped on my back, someone jumped on his back. And then a few guys came to help. And I found out, you know, that the guys that came to help me had a game. I was like 11 years old. I didn't know anything about, hadn't been introduced to that kind of life. But there was a gang. It was a little gang of guys in school. So I thought that was really neat. So I became a member of this little gang because they helped me. I became a member. So when you begin to do those things, you start to take on the attributes of what a gang member would do. The same way I took on the attributes of a cowboy at 5 and 6 years old when I had a cap gun. So I began to take on those attributes, not ever realizing that God created me for something. And I know I'm not the only one, because we wouldn't be going through some of the things that we've gone through had we brought the truth in the beginning of our lives. So as I went through that stage and I began to grow up, but the things that they taught me were, nobody just pushes you around. Nobody punks you out. You're not going to be. So I began to take those thoughts and began to eat those things. I began to believe. The Bible says, so a man think in his heart, so is he. So I began to think, this is who I am. Nobody pushes me around. And now I have three sisters and two brothers. I'm in the middle child. One of the middle ones. But I used to take karate and stuff like that, and I learned to fight. I was a pretty good athlete. And at 14, my mother was strict on us, because she tried to raise us right. You know, we had to come in the house when other kids were out playing. I lived in the projects, and I hated that. I'm standing in the kitchen window and all the kids are on the court playing, I'm in the house. So I rebelled against that because I remember what I was taught. Nobody punks me out. Nobody pushes me around. So I would stay out and do what I want to do. And I'd come in and my mom would hit me upside the head. We'd go through this thing for a while. And one night I came home, and I had really was smelling myself, and I said, nobody's going to do this again. I came in the house and my mom was waiting up for me. It was just like always. And she come up and she began to grab me, to push me in. I grabbed her and I put her on the wall and I told her, I said, don't you ever put your hands on me again. I said, now you tell your husband, don't ever put his hands on me, because anybody put their hands on me from this day forward is going to be a fight. And I pushed her across the table. Worst thing I ever did in my life. Because at that point, I became emancipated. My brothers and sisters had rules, but I didn't. I became a city without walls. I couldn't keep nothing in and I couldn't keep nothing out. I learned the hard way. I learned, and then I got a little older. I left town and went to school in a different town because I didn't want to be around my parents. I wanted to do my own thing. But what I'm getting to is this. I was born with a purpose. As I kept finding myself in trouble. I kept finding myself hurting. I kept finding myself down and out. I kept finding myself uncomfortable. I kept finding myself confused and hurting. And so I decided that I would take a look at this thing called God. I decided I would take a look at this thing called God because I was in and out of the church. But I was set in rooms like this, forced by the courts. I set in rooms, and I would think that my coming was just enough. In my finite mind, in my foolishness, in my stupidity, I thought coming was just enough. As long as my name was on the roll and something would change inside of me. But I had that wasn't enough for me, because I still was the same old stinking guy. I was the same old stinking guy that I always was. I was just coming to a church service. I remember when I was young, my mother would make me come in the house to take a bath or take a shower. And I didn't want to come in the house and take a shower because I wanted to be out playing with the other kids, so I'll fix her. I would go in the bathroom, turn on the shower, and I would sit down on the toilet seat. And I would just sit there. Who am I hurting? The same stinking kid that went in there with the same stinking kid that came out. So I finally decided that maybe there's something to what they're saying in this thing. See, because I understood that I came from somewhere. Something got a hold of me, and I began to get a moment of clarity in my life to understand I didn't create myself. I didn't give birth to myself. And I didn't just come up out of an amoeba out of the water. I didn't come over from being a monkey and turn into a man. Something created me to be what it was. And I decided I would go back and find out from this thing that created me, this the being that created me, what am I here for? See, because I'm not that good at putting things together. And you may be one of those people like me, that when you get something for Christmas and you put it together, there's always two or three parts left over. Well, those were extra parts. You know, that was me. Those were extra parts. You know, because I never knew how to fix anything like that. Those were just extra parts. I was one of those people who was, when my bicycle would break down, because my father didn't have a big extensive toolbox and all those things, so I would go get a pair of pliers to take off the wheel of my bicycle. Now, the pliers worked one or two times. They worked one or two times, but I eventually would strip the nut on my bicycle. I learned that by me trying to put my life together, I was using my life for the things that really weren't me. I never was a drug dealer. I never was a dope fiend. I never was created to be a gangbanger. I was no good at those things. I was never a good thief because I kept going to prison. I was never a good thief. So I learned that these aren't the things I was created to do. So I had to ask God, God, you created me. Take me back and show me who I am and what I need to do. Because I realized that I'm going to give myself to something. That those turtles born on that hill didn't stay on that hill. They didn't have a teacher or instructor, but they didn't stay there. They began to move around to go find something. I don't know where they are today or what they got into. I don't know which ones lived or which ones survived. I don't know which ones found their path. But what I'm saying, I would come places like this. I met Marvin before, and I still wouldn't get what I came for because I'm looking at the things that weren't even valid. Didn't make a difference. I want to encourage someone tonight, really take a look at what you're created for. Because since God came into my life and changed my life hasn't been the same. I haven't been the same person at all. And it is not because it was me, because I finally began to listen to see what he had to say. See, because I understand something. All the experiences I went through. See, I was shot in the head at one time. I was stabbed. I was shot in the head over on Lewis and Francis. I was stabbed down on Lewis Street. I was left for dead on the corner of McKinney and Bowser Street. I've broken people's houses. I've done things to people that I shouldn't have done. And when I began to give myself to God, I began to look back. Something inside of me wanted to make me guilty. Something inside of me wanted to make me feel like I'm never going to make it because I just wasn't good enough. Because I'm not Marvin. Marvin didn't live like me. Something inside of me was trying to tell me that you're never going to amount to nothing. But God showed me something. He said, look, let me show you something. When you begin to bake a cake, you go get stuff together to bake a cake, and all those things aren't good. Now, you get a stick of butter over here. You get some sugar here. You get some eggs here. You get some flowers here. Now, who takes that butter and takes a bite of that butter and says, good? Nobody, because that butter by itself is no good. That butter by itself is no good. But all those ingredients, all those things he put in my life, all those things he brought me back from, all those things he kept me from, became experiences in my life to put me to the point to get me where he wanted me to be. God had a purpose all the time, and he had to put those things together. But just because those things were together didn't mean I was ready. Didn't mean I was ready because without heat on that cake doesn't becomes nothing. He had to put some heat on that cake. Hey, I had to put some heat on me. It wasn't comfortable. I spent a lot of years in prison. I spent a lot of years estranged from my family. I spent a lot of years away from my son. I spent a lot of years hurting and wondering why. But when I got saved, the journey still didn't seem easy to me. When I got saved, I thought, this is enough. It's going to be perfect now. Everything is good, but it wasn't perfect now. When I got saved, it wasn't perfect now. I got in there and I went to prison after I got saved because of the way I lived before I got saved. And in prison, in jail and stuff, I got mistreated. I got talked about. I got laughed at. I got lied on. You know, all those kind of things because I told myself I wasn't going to give myself back to the old life. I had to understand that the heat, and I'm trying to encourage somebody, there's heat on you right now. There's heat on you right now, but it's okay because somebody's watching that cake. See, I went to school and got a degree in culinary arts, and I bake cakes. So even though there's heat on that cake, I'm always checking that oven. I'm always checking that oven. God is always checking that oven where you are. He knows where you are. He's not going to let you burn up. He's not going to let you become consumed in that fire. He's watching you. He's with you. I want to give you some encouragement tonight. Don't give up. Keep going in the midst of that fire because when that cake is ready, when that cake is ready, you've got a meal or something fit for a king, and that's you. When God gets you right and pulls you out and sends you out, he's going to put something in you. I was down in the women's prison a couple weeks ago. And God, they asked me, well, would you bring the sermon on Sunday, Mr. Kelso? I said, yes, ma'am, I'll do that. And as I began to go up and I began to speak, the Holy Spirit took off. He took off. And it's not about me, because I'm nobody. I'm just an old thief and a liar saved by grace. I'm an old dope fiend and a pervert. That's what I was. But God took off. And as he began to take off, I watched the women reaching. But they weren't reaching for me, because I'm not arrogant enough to think I'm that good looking that they're reaching for me. I understood that they're reaching for that God that they can see. And I understood that I need to stand the gap and be there for somebody. I understand that I've lived these 59 years and I'm not done. That I need to be in position for God to use me when he wants to use me. I can't get arrogant and can't get ahead of God. Because I got a story that I'm going to be quiet. I'm not going to run over the time. I remember back in the day, they had a club called Garfield's downtown. And it was a friend of mine named Henry and his other friend. They went to church. I guess they went to a group like this. And they were there about 2 or 3 days. And they were going to come out and save the world. So they come down to Garfield's. One on one side of the street and one on the other side of the street. And they began to call us names up in the club. See, I wasn't saved back in them days. And I could fight a little bit back in them days. I carried a weapon back in them days. I was not afraid back in them days. And I did not run by myself. So they began to call us names. Call us, y'all need to come out of there, you heathens. You're in there sinning. See, they had the right idea. They had the right idea, but they didn't have God yet. They were getting ahead of God. They had the right idea. Because that's what God called us to do. But you've got to wait. You've got to wait till God sends you. Wait till God sends you. It was exciting for me to watch Marvin over the years. It was exciting. But God hadn't sent me yet. He hadn't sent me yet. I had to wait on God. And so they began to scream and call out names. And the dudes come out of the plane, they're halfway drunk. And then Henry on this side of the street, the other guy on the other side of the street. And they start jumping on the guy on the one side of the street. They were giving him up the road. He began to holler, Henry, Henry, help me. Henry say, I'm helping. I'm praying from over here. But Henry wasn't coming across that street. See, because Henry didn't really have God in him. He had a zeal. He had a zeal, but he wasn't coming across. I can only imagine his prayer. God, turn his head to rubber so he absorbed in blows. I can only imagine. But what I'm saying is this. Don't get too much. Don't get offended. Don't get ahead. Wait on the Lord. But listen, let me tell you this. David was anointed king at 17 years old. He was anointed king. David didn't take the throne until he was 30. When was David the king? David was the king at 17 years old. You are who God called you to be tonight. Amen. You are who he called you to be tonight. Amen. Wait on him. Let him fix you up. Fill you up. He's going to send you back like a slingshot. And to help other people. But we just have to be patient. We have to understand. God created me. He created me for a reason. Just like I'm getting ready to go buy a barbecue grill. I went and looked at it at Lowe's yesterday. And they said, well, we got one in the box. I said, no, I don't want one in the box. Give me that one that's already assembled. See, because I don't want no extra parts. See, I know there's somebody in that store that knew what they were doing when they assembled this. I know there was somebody in that store knew what they're doing when they assembled this. And I'm going to let him show me what I'm created for. Let's pray.